Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Saturday too. I think, to be honest, Jeffrey, Shane tried a little too hard. I think, and just it's so tough when you begin to fall out of contention at the Masters. It's so hard to pull it together. Just like at Ludvig Åberg, I felt bad for that kid on 18. You know, he ended up with a triple bogey, which cost him a lot of money as he, you know, went way down the leaderboard. But just so hard. I think once the adrenaline ends for these guys, it's just very hard to keep your focus up.
Timothy, you're great to join us. We appreciate it. Again, the book is Rory Land, available May the 13th. You can pre-order now on Amazon or from Barnes & Noble. Thank you so much, Timothy.
Thanks, Ben.
That is Timothy Gay. When we come back, Tim rejoins the program. Tim Murray rejoins the program. I guess we'll have another Irishman rejoin us, and we'll get into the list. Want to get into some NFL. Got to also talk about this Atlanta broadcast situation that's going on that's just the internet doing what the internet does. We'll do that on the list when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Let's get into the list. Wiley Ballard. All right, Tim, I don't know. Did this go viral last night? So Giannotto texted me this morning. He sent me this, and he's like, hey, USA Today's, Gannett's making me write this up. Tell me what you think. Have you seen the video from last night?
I have, of him talking to the young ladies out there.
At the rooftop bar.
Right.
And they are, to be clear, this is in the Sky Dome. This is not in at whatever, Truist Park.
Okay.
So they're on the road. I have seen the clip. I've watched it twice. And my first thought is, everyone that was like whining and complaining and yelling from the rooftops, like, you don't care. Like, I don't, this is, I watched it. They're in his ear. I actually think, hey, they're telling me I gotta ask for your number. I actually think that's a decent line. Like, I feel like that's something you should possibly do. But I mean, what? There's 162 games. Every single game is gonna be broadcasted. Like, there's gonna be some moments of what are we doing here? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so the people that are actually acting offended about this, I got no time for.
All right, I think there's a lot there.
All right, you go.
I think my homie down in Atlanta, Miles Garrett, not the football player. Shout out to my guy Wiley, setting the standard for sports reporters getting a phone number out in the wild. 10 out of 10 work. To me, I think that's where it set it off. Is this jabroni in Atlanta saying that this is now the standard and this is so great? And I think that's, in my opinion, honestly, dude, this doesn't even see the light of day if Buddy here doesn't retweet this and make it a big deal. So I think that's where it starts.
I think we got to back up. I think it starts because it's two attractive blondes.
Well, once again, maybe awful announcing catches wind of it.
Yeah.
I think it starts because there's an anchor in Atlanta seeing his, what seems to be bro, get the digits from, two good-looking women out there. Look, I think it shouldn't have been done.
But I don't think he did. I think he was told to do it. You can see him. Yeah. He's clearly like, they're in his ear. There's clearly a producer egging him on to me.
Yeah, I think it starts from higher up, but I think it just, to me, it should have never happened. Like, I'm not going to try to cancel him or do anything like that. I do think there is a bit of a double standard because I can't imagine this would have gone. You wouldn't have gotten a tweet from a female reporter saying, like, way to go, way to get this guy's digits out there in the wild.
See, I'm going
to
push back on this. Are you familiar with Kay Adams' work?
Well, like, Kay
openly, like, flirts on camera.
So I'll say this. I don't think that's proper either, but she's also not a sideline reporter at a event.
Well, like, she's been doing, like, you'll see, like, she'll be at event, like, the kind of, like, the golf-adjacent things, like, the match, like, the content or whatever, the creator classic. Like, she's been doing, like, on-site report, like, walking with groups and then, like, interviewing the same type of interview. And then I kind of always go back to, when people killed Carissa Thompson for going on PMT and saying, yeah, I just made stuff up sometimes on the Big Ten Network, and then you get all this faux outrage. Like, nothing happened to Carissa. I think Carissa cashed more checks. You know what I mean?
That was also dumb by her.
I agree.
I think that was dumb by her, and I think this was, I'm not going to, say that Wiley Bowerlard was the sole person involved in this, but I think for a Major League Baseball broadcast to have a dude whip out his cell phone to get the phone numbers of two chicks.
No, I agree with you.
Not for me on that
I agree
one.
With you. This segment felt unnecessary. I'm with you
on
that.
I've always said, I didn't retweet it. I didn't say this is an outrage. Like, I think he shouldn't have done it. I've, once again, not on television. I've done a handful of sideline gigs. That would be never something I would do. I'm also a happily married man, so that would also get me in a lot of trouble. I just wouldn't have done it, and I think that I do think because I listened to it, and the play-by-play guys were kind of egging them on because I don't know. I mean, do you know the Braves broadcasters? I'm assuming
it's Brandon Gaudin. I don't know who the color guy is. I know Brandon is the.
And was he the one saying, "Hey, you got
to
get her"?
It sounded to me like it was the other guy, but then the other guy chimed in, and then Brandon was like, "Yeah, get her number. You got someone's like, you got innings. Get her number."
Was that Jeff Francoeur?
Maybe. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of the like, I've watched is the Cardinals every game. Like, there's like four different guys that will be the color announcer. It's not like
he's got a handful of guys that go on with Brandon.
Brandon does every game. Like, we have Chip Carey every game, and then there's a rotating list of whoever the lead analyst is.
I'm not sure which.
I do kind of think for the kids out there, I do think they're making me get your numbers. Not a bad line.
Kind of only works for a handful of people there.
I think it works if there's a cameras involved. He's on TV. I think that helps. And I think you have to, like, it has to kind of be set up like that where it's actually. Now, I did see Wiley posted on Twitter the GIF of, or the photo of Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting with a "How you like them apples? I got a number."
Yeah, I don't think they're really, you're not going to see, it doesn't seem like you're going to get the old apology out there. Because Brandon Gaudin also tweeted out the Wiley Ballard game and then put a emoji of a phone.
I also think, like, if you watch 162 local broadcasts, you're going to see some stuff. You're like, oh, that was kind of weird.
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely see some goofy stuff.
I mean, they got to have to.
I wouldn't have done it. I didn't lose sleep last night. I had a great night's sleep.
I agree with you on that. Is this something I would have done? No. I also think that the people that are acting like that this is some type of outrage and he should be fired, like, come on. You don't actually care.
Well, and I also think, to your point, he wasn't acting alone.
Yeah.
Like, he had to go with it, no doubt, but he was not acting. It was like, who was it? Oh, God, I can't remember her name. There was a reporter who, like, she talked about when, like, Gronk gave her a lap dance and some, like, Fox sports show. And she's like, yeah, that was a really dumb thing, and I shouldn't allow that to
happen. Is that not, is that Carissa again?
I don't think it was Carissa.
George, get on the Googles there. I don't know why I kept thinking.
Julia, it was
Julia. Oh, Julia. Oh, yeah, yeah, JSB.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's talked about it since. She's like, yeah, that was dumb. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Like, I was on her side on that one. She's like, they say, like, here's the idea. Like, I don't know about you, but like, when I'm in those situations and people are like, here's the idea, my kind of thing is like, I just go with it. Like, to me, it's like, I don't want the reputation of being like difficult to work with. Like, you tell me, it's like, all right, you tell me to do it, I'll go do it. Like, even if I don't think it's a good idea, like, I'll just, all right, fine, I'll go do it. But I also don't think I would have been perusing the, like, that's the other thing. I think it was a 4-0 game in Toronto. Like, it's the, well,
I mean, we're 2 weeks into the season, really. We're going this deep into the playbook, 2 weeks into the season.
Well, I think, though, don't you think that's the rhythm of baseball? Like, baseball, we have the opening day, we get like kind of the opening day feels, and then when we get into NCAA tournament, Masters, we all just kind of check out. Like, that's when we start to casually watch baseball.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I feel like baseball has this weird viewing life cycle where it's like you're pumped at opening day, and then you get wrapped up in everything else. Then it just becomes background noise basically till August, and then if your team's in it, you start kind of locking in a little bit to get ready for the playoffs. But I feel like this is another example of so much of baseball broadcasting is you do it as background noise. And you're right. If this doesn't get retweeted or amplified, maybe it appears on Awful Announcing. But for the most part, we have no idea that this even happened.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling right now. All right, the NFL. All right, you mentioned it. You have a couple of NFL draft plays. I don't know how you're feeling right now. Normally, when we get to smokescreen season around the draft, I kind of used to think it's fun. I now find a lot of it to be annoying. Like, the Giants are holding a private workout with Shador so that everyone below them will think that they're trying to draft Shador, and so they're going to move up in the draft and whatnot. It's like, I'm pretty familiar with these guys' work. I don't think they're that smart. Like, did anybody watch Hard Knocks, the preseason Hard Knocks? I don't think these guys are that calculated.
Well, I listened to Peter Schrager on with McAfee today and talking about this. I think there's real interest with the Giants and Shador Sanders. Like, they've spent a lot of time on Shador Sanders.
I think they're interested, if not picking at 3. I'll say this. I would be for your bet, which was tied with the Dodgers winning last night, so you have Shador going above 8.5. So he has to be picked 9 or later. If you tell me that the Giants take Abdul Carter and then move back, like, and Shador's falling a little bit and they move back into the first round, okay, I can buy that. What I do not buy is that the Giants are going to take him at 3.
So I compared this to 2007. 2007... the NFL draft, Brady Quinn was a part of it, and he was obviously a very known commodity coming out of Notre Dame. And there was belief that early on in the process, maybe he could go 1. Jamarcus Russell went 1. And then at 3, it was like, oh, he's going to go to Cleveland. He's from Ohio. It makes all the sense in the world. And then Cleveland drafted Joe Thomas, who
good
worked
pick.
Out quite well.
Let's say that was a good pick.
A first ballot Hall of Famer. And what happened as that draft went on? Everyone remembers Brady Quinn not getting picked by the Dolphins at 9. Once again, parallel, New Orleans at 9. Needs a quarterback. Sounds like they don't have a ton of interest in Shador Sanders. And then ultimately what happened, Cleveland traded back in to 22 and drafted Brady Quinn. I think the interest is real by the New York Giants. I think they've done a lot of homework on him. They've gone out to Boulder, according to Peter Schrager, a bunch of times, went to practices, went to games, went to, I think they brought 13 people out for his pro day. But when you look at the prospects that are in this draft class, and look, I think the biggest thing to know from betting the draft is this. Your evaluation means diddly and squat. It's all about information. And from everything that we've heard, there's basically two blue chip prospects in this class. It's Travis Hunter and it's Abdul Carter. And the New York Giants, I think, will go with Abdul Carter at three. And maybe if Shador does slide, which seems to be kind of the way it's trending right now, if he's there in the teens or before Pittsburgh at 21, they could, in theory, jump back in and grab him because they've got, what, the third pick of the second round, which is a really valuable piece as a trade chip to get back in there. But I think all this smokescreen stuff right now, in my opinion, and you're a Giant fan, so you're probably in tune with this, I think it's all about if Shador falls, the Giants could jump back in to get him. I would be very surprised, as we are 9 days out of the draft, if at number three the Giants picked Shador Sanders.
Yeah, the only way... I'm trying to think how the board could fall. It does not seem to me like the Titans are going to pick anyone other than Cam Ward.
That is pretty much a lock at this point. He's minus 20,000 to go number one. They've canceled all their other meetings. Like, it seems like Cam Ward is as certain a number one pick as we've seen in recent years.
And it just seems like the Browns are doing, honestly, probably what they should do, which is there's the best player in the draft is Travis Hunter. We're taking him. All right, that's fine. The Giants are just, like, when everyone always does the move of you have a coach that's on the hot seat and a GM that's on the hot seat, people start thinking, well, they're going to take the young quarterback because they'll start playing the young quarterback and hopefully he looks good and they can sell everybody on the dream. That's just not how it works. Like, these guys know they're going for their jobs right now, so they're going to do everything they in their power just to be, like, 9-8. And on the fringe of the wild card. And the way you do that is you get a bunch of veterans. And, like, that's a classic way to go 500 or better, you know, somewhere in that area. So you can, there's no way they're taking Shador to me at three. And I also don't know if they're going to want to spend capital to go get Shador later. Like, you can talk me into, they take Kyle McCord at 34. As much as that, because I think that's the other thing. I was thinking about this. If you had to stake your life, and obviously so much goes into it with situation, where do they wind up? Like, that plays a big part of it. So we don't have that information. But if you had to really bet on one of these guys in this draft class becomes a top 10 quarterback, do you have an answer?
No. I think Shador's got a chance because he's super smart. He's been around the game. I think I heard, maybe it was McShay, I heard someone compare him to Kirk Cousins. And I know when the name Kirk Cousins is thrown out there, be like, oh, that's that. What a terrible comp. I'm like, he's not that mobile. He doesn't have a rocket arm, but he's very precise. He's tough as hell. And he's super smart. I think Kirk Cousins, if you told Shador, well, he probably wouldn't accept it, but if you told the Giants, hey, you're going to take Shador at 18 and you got Kirk Cousins for the next 12 years, I don't know. It's pretty good.
No, I mean,
he's not elite. No, but
this is the problem whenever everyone does draft comps and it's like, you just named a guy that's going to play NFL quarterback for 15 years.
Never misses a start, never is an issue, is, you know, fringe Pro Bowler, didn't win him a Super Bowl, didn't win a Super Bowl in Minnesota, didn't win one in Washington, obviously he's not going to win one in Atlanta, at least as a starter, but the name of the game is being competent, so it's like, if you told Shador that you're going to be Kirk, I'd be like, okay, cool, like 15 years of the league, Kirk Cousins made a whole lot of money, man. I don't know. I like last year, obviously, the jury's still out on a bunch of those guys. I still am in on Caleb. I think he's going to be good. Jaden obviously has taken off, and he looks like he's going to be a superstar. I mean, Bo Nix looks capable. You know, we don't know about Penix and JJ. Drake May looks legit. Like, it looks like last year's class is going to be a pretty memorable one. This year, I don't know. Like, could you tell me Tyler Shuck is a solid starter? Yeah, I could see it. I mean, the dude's like a million years old. So that's fine. He's a quarterback.
Did AOC play it? Did AOC? No, he put it Purdue. He played for Brom, though, right?
Aiden O'Connell, yeah.
Yeah, my AOC. I don't know why, but every time I've ever seen Tyler Shuck, it just reminds me of like, oh, yeah, that's just new Aiden O'Connell.
I thought he played well at Louisville, but I think the Texas Tech tape before he got hurt has to worry you. I still don't forget that backbreaking pick six he threw against Oregon.
We will never forget that one.
Also, I mean, he's not that durable, you know? He's been hurt a lot.
Well, it's always my problem with like Quinn Ewers, where it's like, and I know Quinn has fallen in the draft, but it's like, how can I believe that a guy's going to get to the NFL and stay healthy when he didn't stay healthy in college and he didn't stay healthy in high school?
Could you see a guy, and I know me talking about Notre Dame quarterback, shocker, and I'm not saying even in the first on Saturday, next Saturday, if the Denver Broncos picked Riley.
Well,
Leonard,
when Mike Sanford put that into our head, I was like, oh yeah, that makes all the
doesn't
sense.
Doesn't that
in
make
the world.
A lot of sense?
Peyton just finds a new Peyton Hills.
Right. You know, find
not
a
Peyton
new
Hills, new
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill.
Like that, man, I was like, whoa, I like that. But yeah, and look, I'm not even convinced on Cam Ward.
The only thing though, I don't think Taysom gets enough credit. Like, he's a lot faster, I think, than Riley. Riley's a good runner, but, like, I don't think... Do people remember Taysom Hill at BYU? Like, he would rip off, like, 85-yard runs.
I know Riley, I don't think, ran the 40. I think what you always heard about Riley Leonard from the opposition was like, damn, I didn't know that dude was that fast. Like, he looks awkward running, and then you can't catch him.
Sneaky athletic.
Yeah, no, I think he's
I don't think he's sneaky athletic.
I think he's a great athlete.
Oh, I like Riley Leonard a lot.
My thing is, like, if I have Riley Leonard in that role, yeah. Do I want Riley? Like, this is the other thing.
Do I want him at franchise quarterback? Hell no.
Like, that was, well, at his pro day, there was a video going around. Riley hits, like, it was like 50 of 54 throws. Guys, it was on air. Yeah. You should go 54 for 54. Yeah. There weren't DBs. Like, you should hit every pass. Like, I'm not saying like that. I wouldn't want him being my every down quarterback.
No, I mean, if you get him in a bit role where he's running the football and throwing it a little bit, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't know. I go back to, like, I don't know if Shador can be a superstar in this league, and maybe this will be a good frozen cold take, but I think he could be, to me, of the quarterbacks, I think he's got the lowest or the highest floor.
I agree with you on that. This is what I think makes evaluating quarterbacks so much more difficult. Number one, everybody's playing in the type of offense that you just don't really run in the NFL. Like, nobody's going to be able to run gap scheme RPOs because your lineman can't go 15 yards down the field and you throw a post behind it. Like, no one can do that. Where Mike had me thinking about it on Friday, so much of quarterback is, what are your bad plays? Are your bad plays manageable? Are your bad plays, like, the problem with Cam's bad plays are the type of plays that get you, like, out of the league. Like, in the end, we talked about it, why we all love watching Jameis Winston play football. When Jameis drops back, it's electric. It's a man, though, that did put up a 30 for 30. 30 touchdowns, 30 picks. Like,
record setting, baby.
Right. Like, it's
high variance, I think, is a
way
to put it.
But, like, that's the thing. Like, with the Monday night game that we were talking about earlier this year when he filled in, it's like, throws a pick six, and you're like, oh, my God, here we go again. The next pass is, like, an absolute frozen rope dime that you're like, There's just not many guys that can make that throw. But the problem is, it when your bad plays are devastating, they just don't play you. And honestly, like, that's the thing with the Titans. It's like, well, the real problem the Titans had with Levis is Levis's good plays aren't that good.
Yeah. Like, Cam Ward, I think...
he does make throws that you go, oh, my God. But there, it's what Mike and I...
The interception against Cal. I mean, you know, you go back to that, but yet they came back to win because in large part of him.
Well, and then there's that weird question of how much do you coach out of him? Like, I think the same reason why Cam makes so many plays is he does trust it. Like, that's kind of the question. It's like, are you Jameis or are you Brett Favre? Brett Favre turned it over a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, that's the other thing. I wonder, in today's environment, does Brett Favre, does he, like, survive that long? Because it was an era where people were more patient with quarterbacks. Now we give up. Like, if your first 24 starts aren't great, everyone's like, done, bust, moving on.
I mean, we called Bryce Young a bust. They Carolina.
I still got my stock
in Bryce Young, or that he is going to be a bust.
I still have my Bryce Young stock.
Yeah, I mean,
because I always point this out.
After 2 years, he's not that far off from C.J. Stroud.
I also have C.J. Stroud shorts.
Yeah,
because this was my whole deal. I understand we're the prisoners of the moment. But Bryce and CJ had been compared basically since they were 16 years old. And every single time, everyone came up going, they're both good. We think Bryce is better. It happened in college. It happened in the draft. And, like, do I think I'm probably would rather trust, like, the Texans can be a better franchise than the Panthers? Sure. But, like, is everyone really, like, this is the whole thing with Jaden. I need to see Jaden do it again, because oftentimes what happens with these guys is it takes a little bit to figure out what gives them problems, and then teams identify what starts to give them problems, and they just keep throwing it at you, keep throwing it at you, keep throwing it at you. And how can you overcome that? Now, I think I would rather, I feel better on betting on Jaden right now than I did betting on CJ last year at this time.
Yeah, I mean, look, RG3 tore his ACL at the end of his rookie season, and he was definitely more outspoken as we have now taken a step back and looked and dissected the disaster that was RG3. I would be surprised, barring injury, and that's always the caveat, I would be surprised if Jaden Daniels doesn't continue to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, is he going to win multiple MVPs? I'm not going to go that far, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't think Jaden is going to fall off all that much, but I do think someone like Caleb, I have Caleb stock, you know.
No, I'm with you on Caleb, because the other thing about Jaden is, everyone points to Arizona State, and it's like, if y'all watch Jaden at Arizona State, he would wow you. Like, there were some games that weren't the best, but he was also really young playing on a bad team. He gets to LSU.
Whew.
His last year at LSU, he had more throws that made me say, oh my God, than anyone I can remember in a long time.
Now, it helped that he had Malik Nabers.
He had great receivers. I'm not denying that. But George will remember this game. They played a barn burner with Ole Miss, I mean, he had, like, four passes. Like, when I say dropping it in the bucket, that doesn't do it justice. Like, it was like these passes where the only place he could put the ball, he put it, and they're just unreal throws. And then on top of that, yeah, he's athletic and he runs, but it's not like he moves more like Rodgers would move, more so than the RG3s of the world. You know what I mean? Like, yes, he's athletic, but more times than not, it's like being slippery to either get first downs or being slippery to get outside the pocket like Burrow does to make big throws. And then on top of that, like, I also think a big part of Jaden is, listen, do I want Cliff being, like, the head of my team? No, I do trust Cliff to run offense.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he's a good offensive coordinator.
I thought he was fantastic last year. I mean, they didn't have really big-time playmakers, and that off. I mean, he brought Zach Ertz back to life in that offense, you know?
Also, last thing, Eric DaCosta, the Ravens GM, non-committal on whether or not Mark Andrews will be back. Is he in a contract negotiation? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. I mean, he's been banged up. He's dealt with injuries. But yeah, to your overall point about the lying season, yeah, we're in the thick of it. I'm just curious what the curveball is going to be, because it seems I had Tony Pauline on yesterday.
Yeah.
Who covers the draft, does a really good job. And I said, give me a percentage on 1, 2, 3 being Ward, Hunter, Carter. He said 95%. I was like, whoa, okay.
It just feels like that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the lines tonight. We'll get back into Grizzlies and Warriors, but want to discuss that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Tim, this stat comes to us from John Ewing of BetMGM. George is also a Rays fan. The Rays on April 15th, the last 14 years, according to Brooks_Gate, they are 0-14 on April the 15th, the last 14 years. Also, they won 16-1 last night.
They did. They put it on the Red Sox last night, that is for sure.
They put it on the Sox. Okay, the reason why I mentioned John Ewing, because he also had this note. In the NBA play-in games, teams getting 50% of bets, 50% or more, so at least 50%, are just 8-14 against the spread, according to Bet Labs. So tonight, 52% of the money over at BetMGM currently on the Hawks at 5.5, 56% of the money on the Warriors at -6.5, although I believe, hasn't that jumped to 7, maybe even 7.5?
Right now, the board sits at 7s across the board for Golden State and 5.5, yeah, for Orlando.
Okay, what are you showing on spreads right now, ticket spreads right now?
So I was a little surprised to see this. So this is courtesy of DraftKings, and I'll get you Circa here in just a moment. The bets at DraftKings on the spread are pretty split. 52% of bets on the Grizzlies, 48% of bets on the Warriors. Now it jumps massively when you look at the money line.
Yeah.
81% of bets are on the Golden State Warriors on the money line. 72% of the bets are on the Magic on the money line. And I'll just remind folks, right? Think about what we just went through. We just went through an NCAA tournament where favorites of six or more, I think, lost like two games. Like all these money line parlays. Remember, Sweet 16 weekend, all eight favorites won. Elite Eight, all four favorites won.
I know, George, what was Iowa? Wasn't Iowa State like a 6.5-point favorite against Ole Miss?
Did it? Yeah, I thought it got up to like seven.
That's one of them.
They were the last. So the stretch was from the
and then
Ole Miss
what was
game,
Clemson? Clemson was like five,
seven.
Weren't they?
That was seven.
Okay, so are those the two?
Yeah, and then hold on. I think I had a couple of them. I could probably find them on my spreadsheet here. But yeah, those were the two. New Mexico was a 4-point dog, so that wasn't fitting that characteristic.
I believe Arkansas was five.
Arkansas was seven against St. John's.
Okay, so there were three. There you go.
Yeah. And then Drake was like 5.5 against Missouri in the first round. Somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, 6.5 is the number I had. So, but yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of people who, I'll just do it right now and tell you what the price is, because everybody's going to go to the window, click Magic Moneyline.
Yep.
Click Warriors Moneyline, -108. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, there's my bet for the night.
I mean, that's what people are going to bet, right? That's standard juice, actually a little bit cheaper than standard juice, and Magic and Warriors, bada bing, bada boom. I think that's the way it's going to go. So maybe that's the way most people are looking at this. But yeah, I am. I was a little surprised. I thought it would be more people on the Warriors laying the seven, but looking over at Circa, 54% of bets on the Warriors, but only 44% of the money on the Warriors. So more money on the Grizzlies plus seven than tickets.
John is also showing 99% of bets on Jimmy Butler. 99% of the money is on Jimmy Butler's over in points tonight, 21.5.
That's wild.
He also includes what could go wrong.
Did people not see his knee at the end of that game against the Clippers? Because it did not look good.
I mean, doesn't this just feel like the standard, well, playoff Jimmy?
Yeah, but I mean, there was a more than a possession or two where he's just laboring.
What actually surprised me is he also includes most bet prop tickets. The second most bet prop tonight is Steph Curry under 5.5 threes. And the reason why I'm surprised by that is yeah, he hit 12 on the Grizzlies, and I know a lot of people go, well, zig when they zag, but I can also tell you a big reason why he hit 12. The Grizzlies' defensive awareness, if they had a Madden rating, it would be negative. Their defensive awareness, and that's where he takes advantage. And then on top of that, the guy that they largely been using to guard him was Jalen Wells, and Jalen is out. I presume they're going to put Vince Williams, and Vince has potential to be a very good defender, but Vince has just been hurt all year. And so I don't know. Like, to me, there are ways the Grizzlies can take advantage. Like, inside, they're going to have, like, Edie's played pretty well in this. Now, that's another reason, like, why the three numbers surprised me. Like, you can also take advantage of him defensively and get some threes. But I would imagine the Grizzlies are largely going to keep their game plan the same as when we saw them a couple of weeks ago, which is they are 100% going to say, Draymond Green's got to beat us.
So remind me, 2 weeks ago, Golden State wins that game 134-125 in Memphis. Was Memphis full strength in that game?
No, Brandon. And they had Wells. They had Wells. Triple J got in foul trouble.
Okay. Because the reason I bring that up is the point spread for that game was Warriors -3.5, -4.
Yeah.
And now it's -7. Home court's around 2, 2.5. So on a neutral, Warriors should be like 6. So it does feel like it feels like based off of 2 weeks ago, this should be around 8. And I guess maybe because it's the playoffs, it dips down to 7.
Well, I think it's largely you don't really – that's the other thing. It's like I know people are like, I don't trust the Grizzlies. Is everyone out there like 100% bought in on trusting the Warriors?
I mean, I am. I am because they have Steph and they've got experience.
Sure.
But like, and once again, it's a super, super small sample size. And two of the games happened in 2021. But it's not like the Warriors have kind of flourished in this play-in tournament, you know?
No, I'm with you.
Once again, super small sample size. I do think the Warriors win, but I'm not laying 7. No chance.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell the Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go back to our old friend Nico Harrison, GM, of course, of the Dallas Mavericks. There's no regrets on the trade. Part of my job is to do the best thing for the Mavericks, not only today, but also in the future. And some of the decisions I'm going to make are going to be unpopular. That's my job. I have to stand by that.
What do you say, buddy?
I think you can still shop Luka.
I just wanted him to pull down his shirt like We Are the Millers and have a tattoo that said no regards.
I just love doubling Deb on the defense wins championships. And then in the same breath saying the trade for Kyrie was unpopular. Kyrie, really known lockdown defender?
No, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hey, didn't you go to the championship last year?
Yeah, they did.
I forgot.
They did.
Why'd they go there?
Luka Doncic.
Oh.
That would be the one. All right, my man. I know you're going to be gone. Happy Easter. Enjoy your time in Florida.
All right. Thanks, man.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.